Today is the 20th day of March. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I'm Brian. Oh, and welcome if this is your first day. Because for somebody, it is your first day. Welcome. Welcome to the family here. We are on the adventure of a lifetime, and we are, well, January, February, and 20 days of March into this year. And a lot has happened. But we have a long way to go, and the scriptures have a way of saying what we need them to say, what we need to hear. And so I'm grateful we can all be together here today and take the next step forward, which leads us to where we left off with yesterday's step. We'll pick up things in the book of Numbers today, chapter 30 and 31. Moses said to the heads of the tribes of Israel, "This is what the Lord has commanded about vows. If a man makes a vow to the Lord that he will do something or swears an oath that he won't do something, he must not break his word. He must do everything he said he would do. A young girl who still lives in her father's house might make a vow to the Lord that she will do something or swear an oath that she won't do something. If her father says nothing to her when he hears about it, her vow or oath must be kept. But if her father objects when he hears about it, her vow or oath doesn't have to be kept. The Lord will free her from this vow or oath because her father objected. An unmarried woman might make a vow that she will do something or carelessly promise that she won't do something. When she marries, her husband may hear about it but say nothing to her. Then her vow or oath must be kept. But if her husband objects when he hears about it, he can cancel the vow or promise she made. The Lord will free her from this vow or promise. But a widow or a divorced woman must keep her vow or her promise. A married woman might make a vow that she will do something or swear an oath that she won't do something. Her husband may hear about it, but may say nothing and not object. Then her vow or oath must be kept. But if her husband cancels it when he hears about it, nothing she said in her vow or oath has to be kept. Her husband has canceled it, and the Lord will free her from this vow or oath. A husband decides whether or not his wife has to keep any vow to do something or any oath to do without something. If he says nothing to her about it day after day, this means he's decided that she must keep her vow or oath. She must keep it because he said nothing to her when he heard about it. But if he cancels it later, he will suffer the consequences. These are the laws the Lord gave Moses for husbands and wives, and for fathers with young daughters still living at home." The Lord said to Moses, "Get even with the Midianites for what they did to the Israelites. After that, you will join your ancestors in death." Moses said to the people, "Some of your men must get ready to go to war against the Midianites. The Lord will use them to get even with Midian. Send 1,000 men from each of the tribes of Israel." So 1,000 men from each tribe were supplied from the divisions of Israel, 12,000 men ready for war. Then Moses sent them off to war, 1,000 men from each tribe, along with Phinehas, son of the priest Eleazar. Phinehas took with him the holy articles and the trumpets for the fanfare. They went to war against Midian, as the Lord commanded Moses, and killed every man. Among those killed were the five kings of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, in battle. The Israelites took the Midianite women and children as prisoners of war. They also took all their animals, their livestock, and their valuables as loot. They burned all the cities where the Midianites lived and all their settlements. Then they took everything as loot, including all the people and animals, and brought the prisoners of war, the loot, and everything to Moses. the priest Eleazar, and the community of Israel at the camp on the plains of Moab near the Jordan River across from Jericho. Moses, the priest Eleazar, and all the leaders of the community went outside the camp to meet them. Moses was angry with the officers of the army, the commanders of the companies and battalions who were returning from battle. "Why did you let all the women live?" he asked them. "Remember, they were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and caused the Israelites to be unfaithful to the Lord in the incident that took place at Peor. The Lord's community experienced a plague at that time. So kill all the Midianite boys and every Midianite woman who has gone to bed with a man. But save for yourselves every girl who has never gone to bed with a man. Everyone who killed a person or touched a dead body must stay outside the camp 7 days. You and your prisoners of war must use the ritual water on the 3rd and 7th days in order to take away your sin. Do the same for all the clothes and everything made of leather, goat's hair, or wood." Then the priest Eleazar said to the soldiers who had gone into battle, "This is what the Lord's teachings told Moses to do. Any gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, or lead, anything that won't burn, must be put through fire in order to make it clean. Then it must also be put through the ritual water in order to take away its sin. Whatever might burn must only be put through the ritual water. On the 7th day, wash your clothes and you will be clean. Then you may come into the camp." The Lord said to Moses, "You, the priest Eleazar, and the heads of the families of the community need to count all the loot, including the people and animals you captured. Divide the loot between the soldiers who served in the war and the rest of the community. Collect a tax for the Lord. From the soldiers who served in the war, collect 1 out of every 500 things. This includes people, cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. Collect all these things from the soldiers, half of the loot, and give them to the priest Eleazar as a contribution to the Lord. From the Israelites, half of the loot, collect 1 out of every 50 things. This includes people, cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, and every other kind of animal. Give them to the Levites, who are in charge of the work done at the Lord's tent." Moses and the priest Eleazar did as the Lord commanded Moses. This is the loot that was left from everything that the troops took: 675,000 sheep and goats, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 women who had never gone to bed with a man. Half of it went to the soldiers who served in the war. Of the 337,500 sheep and goats they received, 675 went to the Lord as taxes. Of the 36,000 cattle they received, 72 went to the Lord as taxes. Of the 30,500 donkeys they received, 61 went to the Lord as taxes. Of the 16,000 people they received, 32 went to the Lord as taxes. Moses gave the Lord's taxes to the priest Eleazar, as the Lord had commanded him. Moses took the Israelites half of the loot from the soldiers. The community received 337,500 sheep and goats, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and 16,000 people. From the Israelites' half, Moses collected 1 out of every 50 things, including people and animals, as the Lord commanded him. Then he gave all this to the Levites who were in charge of the work done at the Lord's tent. Then the officers from the military divisions, the commanders of the companies and battalions of men, came to Moses. They said to him, "Sir, we have counted all the soldiers under our command, and not one of them is missing. So we have brought as gifts to the Lord the gold jewelry that each of us found: armbands, bracelets, signet rings, earrings, and pendants. We offer them to make peace with the Lord." Moses and the priest Eleazar took all the handcrafted gold articles from them. All the gold contributed to the Lord by the commanders weighed about 420 pounds. Each soldier kept his own loot. Moses and the priest Eleazar took the gold from the commanders and brought it into the Lord's presence at the tent of meeting as a reminder to the Israelites. Luke 4, 1 through 30. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit as he left the Jordan River. The Spirit led him while he was in the desert, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. During those days, Jesus ate nothing, so when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "Scripture says, a person cannot live on bread alone." The devil took him to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. The devil said to him, "I will give you all the power and glory of these kingdoms. All of it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I please. So if you will worship me, all this will be yours." Jesus answered him, "Scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him into Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest part of the temple. He said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, jump from here. Scripture says, he will put his angels in charge of you to watch over you carefully. They will carry you in their hands so that you will never hit your foot against a rock." Jesus answered him, "It has been said, never tempt the Lord your God." After the devil had finished tempting Jesus in every possible way, the devil left him until another time. Jesus returned to Galilee. The power of the Spirit was with him, and the news about him spread throughout the surrounding country. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. Then Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he went into the synagogue on the day of rest, a holy day. He stood up to read the lesson. The attendant gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened it and found the place where it read, "The Spirit of the Lord is with me. He has anointed me to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce forgiveness to the prisoners of sin, and the restoring of sight to the blind, to forgive those who have been shattered by sin, to announce the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Everyone in the synagogue watched him closely. Then he said to them, "This passage came true today when you heard me read it." All the people spoke well of him. They were amazed to hear the gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" So he said to them, "You'll probably quote this proverb to me, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and then say to me, 'Do all the things in your hometown that we've heard you've done in Capernaum.'" And Jesus added, "I can guarantee this truth. A prophet isn't accepted in his hometown. I can guarantee this truth. There were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time. It had not rained for 3.5 years, and the famine was severe everywhere in the country. But God didn't send Elijah to anyone except a widow at Zarephath in the territory of Sidon. There were also many people with skin diseases in Israel in the prophet Elisha's time. But God cured no one except Naaman from Syria." Everyone in the synagogue became furious when they heard this. Their city was built on a hill with a cliff. So they got up, forced Jesus out of the city, and led him to the cliff. They intended to throw him off of it. But Jesus walked right by them and went away. Psalm 63, a psalm by David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. At dawn I search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry, parched land where there is no water. So I look for you in the holy place to see your power and your glory. My lips will praise you because your mercy is better than life itself. So I will thank you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to pray in your name. You satisfy my soul with the richest foods. My mouth will sing your praise with joyful lips. As I lie on my bed, I remember you. Through the long hours of the night, I think about you. You have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing joyfully. My soul clings to you. Your right hand supports me. But those who try to destroy my life will go into the depths of the earth. They will be cut down by swords. Their dead bodies will be left as food for jackals. But the king will find joy in God. Everyone who takes an oath by God will brag, but the mouths of liars will be shut. Proverbs 11, 20 and 21. Devious people are disgusting to the Lord, but he is delighted with those whose ways are innocent. Certainly an evil person will not go unpunished, but the descendants of righteous people will escape. Okay, so in Luke's gospel today, we read of Jesus' return from his baptism at the Jordan River near Jericho. He went through the temptation, 40 days, and then back into the Galilee to begin his ministry. That is a very long way to walk. Like, it's a very vast, empty Judean wilderness before beginning to move uphill, before the land transitions into fertile lushness of the Galilee, which is a significant parallel with the children of Israel that we are wandering with in the Old Testament. The wilderness forms the people in Scripture. It's formative for Jesus. It's formative in our lives. So Jesus, after his wilderness journey, and it's interesting, right? 40 years for the children of Israel, 40 days for Jesus in the wilderness. He's full of the Holy Spirit, and there's these kind of final temptations in the deserts. And just notice, Satan, the devil, is going after all the soft spots, temptations with his hunger in his physical body, temptations to worship lesser things and take the easy way out of his mission, just get it all and not have to go through anything, temptations to test God, all with this promise that everything would get immediately better if Jesus would simply give in to the temptation. That's kind of how temptation works. That's kind of how our own wilderness experiences are. And it should feel familiar. Because in those times, we are in desperation to make the pain stop somehow, any way possible. What is the easiest way to cope? What is the easiest way to deal with the pain of the wilderness? And so rather than just utterly depending on God, we thrash around trying to figure a way out of the difficulty. And we then experience the same kinds of temptations that we see Jesus experiencing. All of the soft spots. All of the promises for the easy way out. And so we can look to Jesus' responses for strength in the face of this in our own lives. Let's just notice that it didn't end in the wilderness. Like the way that the Bible reads it is that the devil left him like until another time, until there was another opportunity. And that next opportunity is when Jesus makes the long trek back to his hometown Nazareth, victorious. He goes into the synagogue and announces his ministry and his mission, right? From the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And then he says, this prophecy, like you, as you heard it read, it was fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus is announcing the fulfillment of prophecy as he is announcing what he came to do, what his mission is. So same as Jesus, we have been given authority to resist evil and the evil one, temptation. Often our victory then leads us to the same kinds of things that Jesus faced. Rejection, outrage, isolation. And so we need to see the grand big picture here. We don't just imitate Jesus' victory over temptation in our wilderness. Because what happened? The crowd took Jesus to the edge of a cliff to throw him off. And there's a place that commemorates this in Israel. It's called Mount Precipice. And it's just out of Nazareth today. And it's like a traditional cliff. It's really pretty striking what you can see from there. But this mob is going to throw Jesus off the edge of the cliff. And what does Jesus do? He just passes through them and goes on his way. Maybe that is such an important thing for us to hear right now. When we feel like we are being pressed to the edge of a cliff for doing what is right, maybe we need to be willing to just pass through the voices that would discourage us or reject us or intimidate us and just go on our way, knowing that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us and has anointed us to do the same work Jesus did as we walk in his footsteps as his disciples. And so, Father, man, that's important. Like that is so important for us to have with us when we feel the voices taunting, when we feel the pressure rising and we are pressured into conforming. We are pressured into self-awareness of what people think about us, and that becomes our identity and it becomes a temptation all of its own. That the move here isn't to be intimidated or to be fearful. The move here is to pass through it and move on our way, regardless of the voices or their intentions. We need to hear that. We need to know that. And we need to do that. So Holy Spirit, come. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom and lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. Daily Audio Bible app is home base. That is the app. Get connected in any way that you can or that you will. Check out the community section. That's where to get connected. The prayer wall lives there. Also, different links to be connected on the platforms, the social media platforms that we are participating in. And we are there on all the major ones. And so if you're in any of the spaces, make sure to just look up Daily Audio Bible and follow along so that words of encouragement, behind the scenes, announcements, things like that can just show up in your feed. And you can stay connected to the journey. So make sure to do that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, oh, thank you. Profoundly, humbly, thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, this is Jeff in Franklin. Just wanted to pray for Eddie C. in South Florida. Heavenly Father, be with Eddie and open doors of opportunity, begin relationships. Let opportunity just show itself. And let Eddie be prepared to take the next step and to do what you would have him to do. I pray that you would bless him with work, good work, work that fits him, that suits him, that allows him to use the gifts and the talents that you've given him. Bless him. Bless him with those he meets. Bless him with those he works with. Let him be encouraged and let him be an encourager as he goes his way. I know that your hand is upon him. Just lead him and guide him and direct him, strengthen him, build him, let him grow in his faith. Let him know you and see just the mighty power of your creation, of you just being there with us and for us. We love you so much, and I pray for Eddie. I pray that your hand would be upon him. It's in your name that I ask this and that I pray. Amen. Eddie, we love you. We hear you. We care about you. We're praying for you, brother. You hang in there. You be strong.
Good morning. I want to respond to a few prayer requests. First is for Ashley, who called in. Feels like she's experiencing spiritual warfare and on all fronts in her life. So Lord, we just ask that you put a shroud of protection over Ashley. Let your Holy Spirit fall on her, cover her, guard her, Jesus, against attacks from the enemy, whether very obvious or more insidious. Just allow her to be alert and aware, take her thoughts captive, and surrender anything she feels like she needs to get rid of in her life, idols or cravings or distractions. Open her eyes to see, Lord. And for the gentleman that called in for his wife, Marlita, that's going in for a breast cancer biopsy, we just pray for protection and healing over her, that if it is cancer, Lord, that the doctors would be able to address it and definitively, and just allow her to live in remission or just completely healed, Lord, and walk forward in your light and in your will, and be a testimony to you. And for Rich, who was called in for, has terminal cancer and has a son who, his son is likely to see his father die. Lord, we just pray protection over that son's mind and spirit and heart, Lord. Just be inside the situation. Work it all for your good. Help them. Guard their hearts and help them grieve when the time is right. Just be with them in your son.
Shalom, shalom. Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. I'm calling in for a gentleman. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. Who called in about his bride. He said he married late in life, and she is going for a biopsy. And there's a high suspicion that they believe it is carcinoma. So I am coming alongside you in prayer for a negative biopsy. But whatever God's will, whatever the circumstance, that you lean into the Father and that the blood of Jesus heal and surround you and provide for you, for both of you. And I know that this has to be horrible. I know the feeling. I know that waiting period. And we just pour out our love to the Lord as we wait and we go through these situations. So Father God, we just come to you with our hearts open for your love, for your promises, for your healing, and for strength. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hello, my name is Mike D. I live in Salem, Oregon. And I am calling because there was a prayer request from